this love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace.
In all mansions bright and blessed,
he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus,
we'll sing and shout the victory.
While we walk the pilgrim's pathway, clouds will overspread the sky.
But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a star. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day.
Streets of gold.
When we all get to heaven,
what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus,
we'll sing and shout the victory.
When we all get to heaven,
what a day
that will be. When we all see Jesus,
let's do this. Let's sing the first verse and the chorus a few more times. As we get to the chorus, just greet those around you this morning. You don't have to go all over the building, but just greet a few people that are around you this morning. First verse and then the chorus.
Wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us the place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
When we all
get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Thank you.
never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling.
Everybody say praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story.
Mind. Spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me. Bring me near, draw me to your side. Spirit leads me on in the power of your love.
Let's worship him today. Let the Lord know what you have need of. Lord, you know that there are needs that are here today. Oh Lord, I pray that your presence would be real in people's lives today. Lord, that your love would surround them like a sea. Lord, that your Spirit would minister to their infirmity today. Lord, that your Spirit would minister to them.
Bible studies and stuff like that that we talk about that our youth have started, that stems back to Kent's ministry and the help that he gives myself and the local churches and the youth of this area to give them the materials and just to challenge them to be strong in their schools and to minister to their friends. So Kent, if you would come speak the word of the Lord with us today and share what's on your heart.
Great, thank you. Good morning. After meeting your teenagers, you need lots of prayer with those teenagers, that's for sure. No, I am teasing. They are a great group of young people, and I'm not afraid to say that. And Pastor Craig and his wife have done a great job, and youth sponsors have just done a great job, because you have a great, great ministry to teenagers, and you just need to know that. And I can look at that through the ministry of Mark and several other young people out of your youth group that have just taken a campus missionary heart to their school. And that is really what Youth Alive is all about. The ministry I direct is literally to basically simply to be able to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to every teenager before they graduate. That is at its heartbeat. And that's what keeps me awake at night, is literally how can we keep facilitating God's word to getting to teenagers. And that is literally the passion of my life. And I'm just excited to be able to be with you this morning as we stretch out, try to reach our campuses, our senior high, junior high, high schools for Christ. And one of the primary ways that we do it is through challenging students to be a campus missionary. Just as a missionary would go overseas, we want to challenge teenagers to literally begin to view their own school as a mission field. That if their friends are going to be taught and be able to get to know about Christ in a relationship way, that it's going to happen through their actions, not waiting for someone else. And I am so excited. Today we have close to 800 campus missionaries throughout Wisconsin, Northern Michigan. And the Assemblies of God, we're known as a great missions organization. And around the world, we have close to 1,800 full-time missionaries around the world. And think about that. We're starting to approach having half the number that we have missionaries all around the world made up of students. We're having almost half that number of students that are reaching out to their schools throughout our state. My dream is within the next several years that we'll have more students as campus missionaries reaching out to their schools than we have missionaries overseas. And we're on that way of accomplishing that dream. And through those campus missionaries and teenagers, we encourage them to start a Bible club on their school campus, which basically is not just Assemblies of God, just not a church or a youth group, but a multi-denominational effort of reaching that school campus for Christ. And we have numerous Bible clubs throughout our state doing that presently. We also do school assemblies. Last year we spoke to over 60,000 students in public and private schools in Wisconsin, Northern Michigan. And just each year, God keeps opening more and more doors. One of the exciting new things that we're doing is we're literally developing with the Speed the Light efforts, giving that your teenagers give. Speed the Light has purchased audio and some video equipment for us to do an incredible multimedia school assembly. And the beautiful part was with the videos being produced by Book of Hope, which is basically God's word that is distributed around the world. With partnership with them, we have developed an incredible multimedia school assembly that will be able to go into schools. It'll be secular in nature, obviously, when we're in the schools, but it'll be targeting the nine, probably the biggest issues that teenagers face today, and be able to effectively, in MTV type format, not content, okay, but in a style that will be able to relate to teenagers, be able to begin to touch some of the needs that they're affected with, and be able to do it in a school setting. Then at night, even with our other school assemblies, in the night where, during the daytime where we cannot share Christ, in our evenings where we do, we've seen close to 2,000 rededications and 800 first-time decisions for Christ. And so we're just excited about the multimedia aspect, because it's going to be able to give us another opportunity to go into areas, and with there being no overhead costs, we'll be able to go into every community, I feel. Every school that opens a door, we can be able to walk through and go in and minister. And that's where I'm excited, because my heart is not just to touch some areas of the state, but to every school. That's where my efforts will not rest till every student on every campus gets to know about Jesus Christ. And this just becomes another tool to help us towards that cause. And one of our last areas is training. We train students. We just finished a month ago our annual statewide campus conference called Catalyst last month. A number of your young people were there. We had Josh McDowell as our speaker, and had over 500 from around the state, various denominations, various organizations that were there. And I'm excited. That's a great starting point. And I just feel like it's going to continue to grow from there. In fact, I need you to pray with me on a matter. Just be something that if you'd pray with me over the next several weeks, a week and a half, I have another, just an honor, privilege to get with Josh McDowell again. Myself and just a few other gentlemen from around the nation, we're getting together literally just for 3 days. Just we're holding up in a cabin just for 3 days, and all we're going to do is discuss evangelism of reaching teenagers today. And just sharing our hearts, sharing what we can do that more effectively, and be able to get Christ's word out. So please pray with me. I'm just believing God it's going to be a special several days, and I'm anticipating that just some great things are going to come out of that. Turn with me in your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to just share with you this morning a little bit of my passion. That's about Youth Alive itself. I want to really share with, leave something tangible with you this morning. Because I believe in this generation of teenagers. Some of the greatest heroes of the faith today for Christian believers are teenagers. Some of the latest martyrs for the Christian faith on American soil have been teenagers in their schools. And so I believe that they are some of the greatest heroes that we can follow, that we could emulate, that just as Paul would challenge believers to follow him as he followed Christ, there's incredible teenagers today that I'd encourage you to follow as they follow Christ. They sharpen my spiritual ambitions and hopes and passions just to know the Lord personally. And I pray that you'll capture what teenagers have today. And that's where I believe we can have that connection. And I want to help establish a connection to this generation in 1 Kings chapter 19. So if I could entitle what I want to share with you today, it would be a generation connection. And it's exciting to see a group of seniors graduate because they can be saying, I'm done. I'm out of here. It's always a kind of a sad part for me because in many times every year I'm losing some good campus missionaries that have been good at reaching to their friends and presenting Christ, and I mourn that. Every single year I just kind of pray that some of my campus missionaries would fail in their homework. God, let them just suffer real bad. Let them oversleep on the finals during that whole week, you know, something. But every year there's always a mix of happiness for them, but also kind of a sorrow for me because every year we have some great campus missionaries. And I just want to commend Mark because, Mark, you have done an outstanding job being a campus missionary. And what's good is there's a large number of young people that can graduate and look back with no regrets. And that's what we love to challenge the teenagers and young people. It's my ambition is that they can graduate, and when they move that tassel on that graduation day, they can look back with no regrets. No regrets in the way they live their life, no regrets in how much they were able to influence and share Christ with others. And your church is doing an outstanding job in being able to help give a missionary mindset to teenagers. So here's a connection that I want to help you as a church to this effort. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. Look there with me. Verse 19, and we look at the relationship of Elijah and Elisha. Verse 19, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. We can literally stop right here. Because so often we continue to read on and we read about the story of Elijah and Elisha, but we miss one of the beginning hallmarks of their relationship. And I kind of smirk because even you're going to see how some of my message is going to dovetail for those of you that were in Sunday school. For those of you that missed Sunday school, you missed a good time. You missed a good nuggets from God's word this morning. And it's going to dovetail for those of you that were there this morning in the adult Sunday school class. Because here is an essence. If we're going to have a connection of this generation, there's three things we need. We need to have a connection to their culture, we need a connection to their cause, and we need a connection right back here to the local church. And so our first connection that we need to make to a generation is we've got to connect to their culture. You've got to connect to their world. And the very first way we do it is we find it here in the life of Elijah and Elisha. Verse 19, and it's the foundation of their relationship. Look at the verse again in verse 19. Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, as he was out in the field plowing. Notice that it was the older that sought out the younger. Notice that the older went to where the younger was. If we are going to reach a generation of teenagers today, we cannot expect teenagers to come into the doors of our church. In our culture today, being in a postmodern, post-Christian nation of America that we are in today, we cannot expect teenagers to come to the church to know about Christ. We've got to go where they're at. And this is where my passion with Youth Alive is. It's to try to reach every student on every campus. During the school year, teenagers spend 55% of their time. The average teenager spends 55% of their day at their school campus. Whether it's in classes, extracurricular activities, sports, you name it, they spend 55% of their day, the average student. And so whether it's a private or a public, For the homeschooler, we challenge them to get involved in the evangelism efforts of their church and reach out to their neighborhood so there's no one that's exempt from this. But notice that it was the older having to make efforts to go to where the younger were. That same effort is what it's going to take to connect to the culture of teenagers today. We've got to make the efforts to get invited into the teenagers' world. And this is where I love my opportunity to be with you today. Because when you hear on all you've probably heard about this generation today, if you watch any television at all, you listen to the radio, you see anything in a printed media like a newspaper or magazine, they will only report in large degree what's wrong with the teenagers today. They're reporting to you the Columbines, but they're not telling you the whole story. They're not giving you an accurate picture of this generation. And that's where I get excited because Dan Rather, Peter Jennings, they've had their time. Tom Brokaw, they've had their time with you during the week. I get my equal time with you this morning in Wilson, okay? And so this is where I hope that you can capture a positive picture of where I see this generation is going. Because, yes, there is a number of hurts deeply in this generation. Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, the shooters from Columbine. And you can go down through a number of even the latest school shootings in Santee, California. All these number of teenagers. And this is the key thing I want you to understand about teenagers is they don't create problems, they just reveal them. They don't create the problems. The reason that the turmoil that brings all the attraction to that young person, you know what, there's a whole root of underlying problems and hurts. And that's the only way that they could have revealed it. For like Dylan and Eric and Columbine, the only way that they felt like they could express the hurt, the bitterness, the anger that they had built up in their life was finally it came to a point. The only way they could express it was through violence. And this is where I want to be able to help you to be able to equip and to be tying into a teenager's world is being able to be an Elijah that walks up to a life of a young person and puts his cloak around him, puts a mantle around him, a mantle that shows relationship, a mantle that shows importance. See, that's what exactly it meant to Elisha. Elisha was out working in a field. He had no clue about Elijah, but as Elijah came and put that mantle around him, it symbolized that importance. It symbolized value. It symbolized so much. And that's what you've got to show your young people. As a church, what are you doing to embrace teenagers today? Can the teenagers know that you are behind them? Can the teenagers sense your love for them? Do they feel that mantle of love, of acceptance unconditionally? One of the huge aspects of reaching a generation today is literally if we would live out our life for Christ. In the Sunday school, we talked about compassion. Compassion becomes a huge attraction in the way if we act it out. Compassion minus action equals wasted emotion. Compassion plus action equals changing lives. And this is where I want to challenge you today, is that if we begin to reach out, literally serving others, loving them, living out the great, having a great commitment, not only to the Great Commission, to be able to know that every person can know about Christ, but living out the great commandment that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. That in that way, and then love our neighbors as ourselves, that in the same attention we give to ourselves, we give to others. When we start to do that type of great commitments, when we have great commitments to that commission, to that commandment, we're going to see a great church, we're going to see great ministries, we're going to see changed lives. And this is my hope for you today, is that you capture this pattern of reaching out to where teenagers are at today. Adults, how many of you are here today because somebody prayed for you? How many of you came into your relationship with Christ, whether it's been recent or it's been a long time, but as you first came into your relationship with Jesus Christ, how many of you can remember just a Christian that was infectious? I mean, they were joyful, and you wanted to be like them. Can you remember people like that? See, there's a number of you, and you can pull up names. You can pull up faces. And they just come to mind right away. And this is the exciting part, is just as you had Elijahs in your life when you were yet an Elisha, you had Elijahs. That person that prayed for you was an Elijah. See, now you're an Elijah for a whole nother generation of Elishas that are following now. Can the teenagers look to your life, the way you live for Jesus Christ, and can they say, I want what you've got? Can the teenagers of your church say, I want the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ? Are they attracted by it or are they repulsed? See, this generation today, this is one of the greatest aspects I could tell you as adults, is that you have one of the greatest opportunities as an adult to reach young people today. And it has nothing to do with the fact that you know what the teenagers are listening to. It'll have nothing to do with the fact that you can quote any top 40 or top 100 song, for that matter. It doesn't matter that you dress like them or speak like them. It has nothing to do with that. It'll have with the matter if you're going to love them unconditionally. Literally, loving them and showing that you want to be involved in their life and you do it consistently. That right there will win this generation, where you show love and you do it consistently and you keep reaching out. Those would be an aspect. I don't want to be oversimplistic, but that will be it. See, you're dealing with a generation that is very skeptical of adults. And why shouldn't they be? When you look at every problem that's wrong in America and how it affects teenagers, who has caused those problems? It's been the adults. They deal with the consequences of choices of adults. And so when they look at us a little skeptically, is it any wonder? Because a large part of the hurt that they have had to carry in their life is because of the result and choices of parents, their parents or adult figures in their life. But for those adults who will live infectious lives, you'll have a huge attraction. One of the people in my life that I just went, I want to be like, was when we were youth pastoring, my wife Stacy and I, who I wish could be here today. She is our interim youth director in Waupaca, which is where we live. And so she is busy youth pastoring this morning. And I just kind of chuckle because I'm in a whole different place of life. When I'm not traveling on Wednesday nights, I sit back in the youth service and normally I'm the one speaking, but there's my wife. She's preaching away, and I can do all the same things she does to me when I preach. It's fun. Because my wife would always be, if I'm going too long on a story, she'd be like, she gives me all these signs, really trying to help me. You know, it's like, move on. You know, all these things. Now I get to sit in the back. You know, it's fun. By the way, I didn't even share anything about my family. That's sad. My wife, Stacy, we've been married 13 years, and we have two kids. Grant, my oldest son, is 5, and will turn 6 in August. And we have another younger boy that has just turned 3, and their names are Grant and Garrett. And that even becomes another attraction to teenagers today, is the way as a father that you love your children. You'll watch neighborhood kids that if you have a family that is tight and close-knit, you'll watch neighborhood kids just want to hang out at your house. Because the only sense of family that they may ever actually get of a family the way it is to be, they will only see it through our church family's lives. And this is the challenge I have for you, is live a life that's infectious. Because for me, 10 years ago, as we were youth pastoring in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 11 years now, one of the people in our church, his name was Brother Erlebaugh. Now, I can't talk like I'm from the South, but I can when I say his name, Erlebaugh. Brother Erlebaugh in our church was just an infectious man. I mean, here's a man in his late 70s. If he was in your church, every Sunday morning, I guarantee you, he'd be out there in the foyer somewhere out there, and he'd be in his overalls, and he would be leaning up against one of the walls talking with you, talking about the week. But he just had a joy about him. And our teenagers literally loved Brother Erlebaugh. He was like a grandpa to our youth ministry. Why? Because here was the way a man lived his life. Every Sunday morning, I look forward to going by Brother Erlebaugh in that foyer because I would set him up to share that joy even more, because I'd be like, how you doing today, Brother Erlebaugh? And he would just get this smile, just like Sylvester ate Tweety. I mean, just this huge grin. And he would be like, I'm alive, which is pretty good when you're in your late 70s, which he was. But he would finish the statement. He would go, I'm alive. But then he would follow it up and he goes, but any day I'm going to see my Jesus face to face. And see, the strength of that statement was the fact that this is not a man that was just making these statements because he's in the sunset years of his life. But the strength of his statement was when he was a young man and came to Christ, that was the hope, and he would share it all the time. It's been a statement for him. It's been like his life motto, that ever since he was a young man, he looked forward to just having another day to live. But yet he knew, some moment, any day, in a twinkling of an eye, he'd be with the Savior face to face. And that was his hope. And that infectiousness, that consistency, won over my life. It won over our teenagers in the life. Because it certainly wasn't the fact that Brother Erlebaugh knew the music, he could break a move. teenager, I mean, it had nothing to do with that at all. It had the fact to do with Brother Erlebaugh loved God with all of his heart and the fact that he'd lived it consistently. And you know what? He wasn't afraid to talk to teenagers either. Our teenagers felt very at ease with Brother Erlebaugh. But it all was the strength of his walk, his openness to be willing to talk to our teenagers and just love them. He loved them unconditionally. And this is the challenge I want to give you this morning, is to love your teenagers of your church, to love the teenagers of your community unconditionally. Flip to me over to a passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This has been a passage that's just been burning on my life for 2 years. Because this is a key to the church if we're going to be more effective in our evangelism efforts, which we have been pathetic at in America today. Church memberships decline, the influence of the church is declining because we have ceased relating to our world. They don't see Christ being practical in the life of everyday life. They don't see it. They see the religious aspect where you'd go for some time on Sunday morning, which you start talking to unsaved people, they can't figure out, why do you want to go sit in a church for an hour or two? Why? Man, you could be busy. You could have had a couple more acres done. You could have had your yard mowed. You could have had your house repainted. Who knows? They just cannot figure that aspect out. But see, they see the religious side. They see the ritual side, but they don't understand the relationship. And this is the beautiful part, is through our life, if we will share our life, we will become effective. Look at verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, because here's the key to our evangelism efforts if we want it to be more effective. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Hear that verse. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. That gives you a clear picture of their evangelism. We cannot be excited just to share a tract anymore, if that was ever acceptable. We must be excited to be able to share our life, and that means the warts. That means being able to get behind the Sunday morning mask that we sometimes wear. Letting them to see all the fallible weaknesses that we have, because you know what? People see our weaknesses. They see our weaknesses. We think we're covering them up, but you know what? We're not. And this is the beautiful part, is our weaknesses become a huge attraction as well. Our weaknesses become an attraction that when people see that we live for Christ, even in spite of weaknesses that we might have, and we keep going to Him, and in those weaknesses we show that Christ can be made strong, see, that becomes another compelling action of Christ's work to them. Because many times they can identify through the weaknesses that we have. Through our shortcomings, they can begin to identify going, okay, now I can see. You know, I get angry a lot. Okay, I see how he's dealing with his temper. I see how Christ helps him. That all starts to work. When was the last time you had a friend or a neighbor over to watch a Packer game? Or I guess we're pretty close to the Twin Cities to watch a Vikings game. How many Vikings fans do we have here? Do we have no Viking fans? We have a couple. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Good Packer church. Praise God. Packer, am I right? Or am I? I don't want to. Yeah, I was going to say you could be geographically goofed up and be rooting for the Bears up here, you know, which would really be confusing me. But I'm thankful for the Minnesota Vikings, though. I really have to be. Because if it wasn't for the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears, for that matter, my son would not have learned how to count to 10. 0-1, 0-2, 0-3. Yeah, it's a. How many of you have some neighbors that are good Vikings fans? Do you have some? Here's a good joke you can lay on them, okay? Please do this. Do you know why the Minnesota Vikings fans? You know what? Well, you know why the Minnesota Vikings are purple, don't you? Well, you would be too if you choked all the time. You know, that's just a good one. You know, you can just really lay them out. But here's the part. When was the last time you had those friends over to your house just to fellowship and have dinner? And I'm talking people outside your church. When was the last time you had that coworker or that neighbor over? See, that's the essence of this verse right here. This is the essence of growing a church, of growing a youth ministry, of reaching out to a generation of teenagers is right here. It's all about relationships. It has nothing to do with the structure of how you do it. It's just the fact if you have effective relationships, then you could do it in thousands of different ways. It always boils down to relationship. So if we're going to connect to this generation, you've got to connect to their culture. Secondly, you've got to connect to their cause. And this is where I just love teenagers today, is God is raising up a remnant out of this hurting generation that's literally touching their schools, touching their friends for Christ. When I look at See You at the Pole, which the third Wednesday of the month of September, teenagers gather at their flagpoles and they pray for revival. All across the U.S., Wisconsin, the U.S., and around the world, last year there was 3.5 million teenagers that were at their flagpoles. I serve as the state coordinator for See You at the Pole in Wisconsin and northern Michigan. Last year we had over 12,000 students that we had notice of through our office, over 12,000 students that were at their flagpoles this last year. And that's exciting. That's another record. And so here's teenagers gathering to pray, and it only makes sense that when we begin to pray, God begins to move. Because you can begin to see that since that was started, so many other efforts have started since then, that the teenagers are just making incredible changes in their schools. Campus clubs have grown to where now, in the last 10 years since See You at the Pole was started, over 14,000 Bible clubs have been started in our 56,000 schools. I mean, we are making incredible progress of having a campus club on every single campus. In the last 10 years, we've seen a drop of teen pregnancy and teen sexual activity to where right now the Department of Health and Education did a joint study that found that teen sexual activity, every aspect when it's related to the sexual activity of this generation, is at its lowest level in decades. And the exciting part about that is the fact that, of course, they're going to applaud that it's their sex curriculum in the schools and applaud their secular efforts. And I smile because, you know what, that did have a part. But I kind of smile when it sure doesn't hurt when you've had several million Christian teenagers over the last number of years that have made True Love Wait commitments. Just like we had a month ago as part of our Catalyst Conference, ours went Friday and Saturday. We teamed with a whole network of youth of churches and youth ministries in Madison. And on Sunday, they held a statewide True Love Waits rally with over 1,800 students standing at the state capitol committing to be morally pure and sexually abstinent until they're married. That's exciting. When you start looking at campus missionaries that just continue to have a passion to reach out to their friends, Wedgewood Baptist Church, there was a shooting there at a church in Fort Worth, Texas, on the day of See at the Pole. It'll be 2 years this coming September. How many of you remember that shooting? It's reported on CNN, was nationwide. Here, you did not get the whole story on that shooting. But on that night of See You at the Pole, and I want to share with you this, because you need to know, the media is not telling you the whole story of this generation. They're not. And it gives you a glimpse of why I'm so hopeful. And I got this information directly from the youth pastor of that church, just so you know. And so here it is, Wedgewood Baptist Church, the young people, 400 adults and young people are around their altars of their church. And no farther than from here, maybe to the front doors of your church, maybe just a little bit farther beyond that, a gunman came in the sanctuary and opened up a round of 100 bullets into the crowd. The church already credited a miracle that not more people were hit, considering the close distance that he was at. And as the young people went for cover underneath the pews and started diving for cover, the incredible part of the story was as the gunman went to reload, the youth pastor who was up front could hear the clip hit the floor, and so he's trying to get a direction of where the gunman was at. And out of the corner of his eyes, one of his seventh grade students stood up. And being kind of a smart youth pastor like I would be like, because you never know with seventh graders. You know, sometimes you just wonder, is seventh graders good for anything? No. No, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. But here's an incredible seventh grader that just stood there, and he's staring at a gunman, staring right at the barrel of the gun. Basically blows off his youth pastor and the gunman, and he makes this remark to the gunman, "Mister, I don't know what your problem is, but all you need is Jesus." And basically the remark came back from the gunman that, the youth pastor couldn't quite make it out, but it was something like, "I've got a gun, I'll kill you." And here's the incredible courage of the seventh grader. He says, "Mister, you can go ahead and kill me. I know where I'm going, do you?" And with that, the gunman stood there stunned for a few moments, staring at this teenager, this little seventh grader. Took a few steps, sat down in a pew, and ended his life. A tragic ending, but a tragic situation that could have been even more tragic. More lost lives, if not for the courage of a teenager. Paducah, Kentucky, one of the very first school shootings. That Bible club that was shot upon was a Youth Alive club. And that shooting would have been even worse if not for the courage of the Bible club leader, Ben Strong, who talked the gunman from literally, the gunman had
The gunman had one more bullet left in his gun. Michael Carneal. And literally point-blank distance from here to the sanctuary doors, right over there, he had the principal in sight, and his principal was at the top of his hit list. See, Michael had been hurting. He'd been getting picked on in school. But you know, one of the only people that were reaching out to him was Ben Strong. The only person that could have talked Michael into dropping the gun was Ben Strong. And literally, Ben just literally walked up to Michael and was able just to have Michael hand him the gun and just collapse in his arms and begin to weep. A young person that was so hurt and yet knew that the only one of the few people he could trust was right there. See, that's why I'm hopeful in this generation is they don't really care the consequences. They just want to lift up their Lord and they want to serve him with all their heart. They don't care if they become a martyr. They just want to know him and know him fully. See, that's why this generation is looking for examples. They're looking for adults. They're searching for it. Gangs have their popularity today because we have a vacuum of no Elijahs for teenagers to follow. So they'll go to where they can find consistency in what they believe in. And sometimes they find it in a negative sense. Because if you look at a gang, they're very committed to what they do. Some gang members, some of what I have information on in Chicago, require them to have to give over $200 a week to their gang. And you know what? They think nothing of it. Because you know what? They're committed to their purpose, but they found relationships, and they know that those people will never give up on them. And I just smile. I mean, I cringe, but yet I smile because I know that the message that we have is not temporal. It's eternal. The hope that we can give through Christ is going to be much more than what any gang can offer. But the question is, why are we losing the battle? It's because we're not making the connections. So if we will make the connections to their culture and to the cause of teenagers today, we can have incredible results. And this is the final point I want to lead you to. And if I could have my gentleman help me by passing out those brochures. You're going to receive in your hands a brochure called Prayer Zone Partners. This is a brochure that I helped design and develop, and it's gone nationwide enlisting adults to be a prayer support for teenagers. This is part of my passion is I not only want to see teenagers go out in evangelism, but I want to be able to equip your church to be able to help assist in connecting to this generation. And here is what I'm talking about today is that every time you go through a school zone, every time you see a school bus, I want you to begin to pray for the students in your youth ministry, for the students in that school. As you open up the brochure, there's a place for you to fill out because I can tell you where I have Bible clubs, if they have chartered with me. I could tell you where we have Bible clubs. I could tell you where a lot of organizations' clubs are at today, FCA, Young Life. I could tell you where those are at. I could tell you where we've done school assemblies. What I can't tell you is where our prayer support is for this area. And here's where I want to challenge you is you can adopt a school or a numerous schools that every time you go through a prayer zone, this is just a commitment to have an ongoing way of praying for your teenagers in your area. I would not be here this morning if it was not for adults that took this type of a commitment. Oh, it wasn't presented like this. They just naturally lived it out. One of the weaknesses of the American church is we've got our ministry so departmentalized, we lost an essence, a relationship thread that's throughout the scripture, and that was of the older ministering to the other. Just like Elijah ministered to Elisha, we've lost that mentoring of just a church of the older mentoring the younger. And here's a small way, without destroying any of what we've got, here's a small way of beginning to do it. Because, see, I had gentlemen in my church where I grew up in western Nebraska. I mean, you think Wilson's small. You need to come to my hometown. literally, western Nebraska, where the deer and the antelope roam. I mean, literally. And that's about it. And we didn't have as many trees as you guys have here. One of the encouraging aspects for me was on Sunday mornings, Sunday night, Wednesday nights, all these various men, there was a number of men in our church that just supported me as Christ did a work in my life, and I can celebrated my 20th anniversary as come from in my relationship with Christ May 13th. May 13th, 1981, I can tell you when I came to Christ. And since that, we had a number of adults that just supported me, praying for me as I tried to reach our football, basketball teams for Christ. They just prayed for me. And it's the essence of what Prayer Zone Partners are all about. See, for me, the names were Kelly Galloway, Akin Corral, Dwayne Kazire, Rich Hernandez, Dave Ojeda. The list goes on and on. Dave Merring. I could tell you a list of a lot of men, and all of these men did not know that the other were doing this, but different times at an altar, they'd see me out getting a drink at the water fountain, or just see me even at Walmart or around town, they would just be like, hey, Kent, we're praying for you. Just want you to know. And see, that was so powerful to a teenager that did not have his parents in church at the time. My parents had backslidden, they were way out of church. Sunday mornings was a motivation on my part to go to church, and it was a pretty easy one because I wanted to go. But part of that attraction, the part of the attraction that kept fueling the fire for me to want to know Jesus even more was the love and the encouragement I had from the church. And this is the connection that you must have to your teenagers back to your church, is to pray for them. And this is part of what I want to challenge you is if you'd make a commitment to be a Prayer Zone partner. You're not going to get signed up on any mailing list. You're not even getting my newsletter by signing up on this. Because the reason I want you to know is this is strictly for prayer. And it's strictly helping me know that I've got every single school covered. Because I can tell you what schools I don't and where I do have campus missionaries at and the clubs. But I want you to help me to cover every single school in prayer in this area. And this is your opportunity. In closing, I want to ask a question to the teenagers of your church, the young people in the audience here this morning. To every young person here today, how many of you would it help to know that you would have adults that would pray for you every day? How many of you would it help? Raise your hands. A lot of hands going up. You can put them down. Thank you. See, can you see the importance of what your prayers are going to be? In fact, I want all the young people to make one line across the front here. There's going to be a lot of you, so we might have to go up the sides. But let's make one long line, and this is how I'd like to close this morning. So young people, make one long line, face the adults. Don't worry, they don't bite. They might spit, but they don't bite. I'm just kidding. And see, this is a great, man. Church, this is a great group of young people. Look at them. See, this is your greatest asset right here. One of your greatest assets. Your greatest asset is never a building. It's never a thing. It's always people. And I'm going to ask the question I just asked them again because I want you to see their hands, and I only want you to raise it if you mean it. How many of you would it help if you had adults that would pray for you every day? Raise your hand. Thank you. You can put them down. Church, I hope you, Elijahs, I hope you saw these were the Elishas of your church that are asking you, will you pray for me? I'm not asking you to pray for some far distant land that you have no connection to. This is the connection to every school in your area. This is a connection to your students that will literally help shape and be able to take the gospel to this area. This is your connection. If you would be willing to be a Prayer Zone partner for these young people, and you don't have to be a member of this church to do this either. If you'd be willing to be a Prayer Zone partner for these young people, I want you to join us. If you're a visitor from another town, you could adopt your schools in your area, but if you still want to take a symbolic step to be a Prayer Zone partner, I want you to join us up front. I want to have every young person have somebody praying with them this morning. So if you'd be willing to be a Prayer Zone partner and pray for these young people, adults, I want you to make your way right up here right now. Thank you. Because we're going to make a commitment to stand with these young people. And so adults, I want you to step forward, and as you look to the just stand in front of one of these young people. Could be one of your kids. Who knows? But I'm praying and I'm believing that we'll have at least one adult for every teenager. We could have more. Young people, I hope you can see how many adults out of your church are taking a step forward. Because these are going to be Elijahs that'll be there for you. It's part of what they're sharing, showing you today, is that they'll be there for you. Just like the Dave Ojedas and the Rich Hernandezes and the so many others were there for me, they'll be there for you. Adults, if you would reach out your hand, let's place a mantle on these young people today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the young people of this church. God, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus for each Elisha. God, we pray for each young person that, God, you will anoint them. God, that you will let them know that you are real. God, I pray you continue to show yourself to every single teenager, God, of your love, of your commitment to them. God, through the commitment of these adults, may they already begin to feel that and know that even more yet today, that this church is going to stand behind them. And we pray, God, that even though as the school year is closing, we pray your hedge of thorns of protection around them. That God, as they go in their schools, as they go to their workplaces this summer, as they wherever their feet goes, God, we pray your anointing upon them. That God, they can show your love to their friends, to their coworkers, to their neighbors, to anyone who crosses their path. God, we pray that you'll anoint them. Give them that first love, we pray. God, we thank you for the young people of this church. And God, we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Young people, we're not quite done because we're making connections here. Young people, tell the adults thank you. Would you do that? And yet, as you do that, I want you to take a good look at the adults that prayed for you. Because you need to know one thing. These adults, they don't have it all together. All right? And I know you're looking at me going, duh, I knew that one. But here's the beautiful part, guys. See, these Elijahs in front of you, this church would not be here if it was not for them. The youth ministries and all the various things that have touched your life would not be here if it was not for the sacrifices, the prayer, the giving of these adults. You owe a lot to them. So what I want you to do, and I want you to be able to show them what I already know about your generation, I want you to stretch out your hand. Because we're talking about connections, and sure would be one-sided if we left it any other way. Would you reach out your hand and place it on the shoulder of one or numerous adults in front of you? And let's pray for them, for the needs that they have. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the adults, the Elijahs of this church, for the heritage, for the faith. God, their commitment to you to reach out to this area. We thank you for them, oh God. We thank you for their lifestyle. God, we pray that you will anoint them, God, to be even a greater Elijah. Father, in their love and their devotion to you. God, we pray your anointing upon them. That God, as they go to their workplaces, they go to their mission fields. That God, you will anoint them to proclaim your love. To be able to serve others. Father, to be able to show compassion with action. And Lord, we just pray right now that you will anoint them. God, no matter what needs that might be on the hearts of some of these Elijahs today, God, we pray that your anointing will be upon them. That God, every need, whether it's physical, emotional, marital, whatever it would be, God, we pray you will meet them. Meet that need according to your riches in glory and in heaven. Father, we just pray that you will anoint these Elijahs, we pray. And I pray an anointing upon Pastor and the leadership of this church. God, the dreams that you have in his heart and in the lives of the church, God, may the dreams and the greatest days of this church be yet ahead. And yet, God, just as you did for Nehemiah, you not only gave him a dream, but God, you brought him the people and the resources to accomplish that dream. And God, I pray right now that you will continue to bring the resources and the people to this church and to this area to accomplish the dreams of being able to present Jesus Christ, to be able to present you, Lord, to every person in this area and take it to every part of this globe. God, we pray your anointing upon this church, upon the youth ministries, upon every ministry of this church. May it go forth in effectiveness, in relationships, to connect to our world. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for letting me come here today. Pastor, do you want me to turn it back to you? Or as Pastor comes, I just want to remind you of one thing. We have a static cling window sticker that has this logo on it because of Prayer Zone Partners. They're only 15 cents. That's my cost. If you're like me, we'll forget to pray sometimes. And here's a great reminder that you can put on the windshield of your car, that you, every time you go through that prayer zone, you can pray for your young people. Thank you, Pastor.
I just wanted to encourage you to stop by the Youth Alive table. You probably saw it when you came in the sanctuary this morning. It's right outside the doors. Take a look at the material there. And remind you, tonight is Afterglow. We hope to see you all back for the service this evening. God bless you. You are dismissed.